Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The epistle reading this morning is from Ephesians chapters 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. He himself granted that some are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament from which it is equipped. As each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The gospel reading this morning from Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to the heavens, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
On January 18th of 1985, more than 700 annual conference members gathered at First United Methodist Church of Pasadena for a special called session presided by Bishop Jack Toole. If you've been in Southern California United Methodism for a little while, you may know that name, Jack Toole. This was the new California Pacific Annual Conference, brand new, and it began its life that day at 12:30 p.m., lunchtime, which will be important to our story in a moment, with an opening celebration of Holy Communion. We'll be celebrating, by the way, Holy Communion today. If you're one of our online worshipers, I hope you have bread and juice and some substitute. For you all who are here, you'll be invited to come forward. You'll be given instructions. We'll be celebrating Holy Communion today. To open the service, they sang the classic hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. And they closed with the classic hymn, Amazing Grace. During the service, they raised $2,169.29, not sure how the cents worked out, for famine relief in Africa, which is nearly $7,000 in today's economy. My friend, the Reverend George Hooper, before he was ordained, he was there, and he told me a story about this particular service. He was serving as an usher, and he was up in the balcony. So he had a bird's eye view of everything that was happening. So it's during the communion service, and as often happens during communion services, everyone is coming forward to receive. And one of the things that he could see from the balcony that those servers on the floor could not see is that as people were coming forward for communion, stewards would get bread from the table and bring it to the servers as they ran out of bread from where they were. So stewards would come and they'd get some bread and they'd bring it down. But what he could see from the balcony is on the table, they were running out of bread. There wasn't enough bread for everyone who is coming forward for communion. Then my friend noticed something else. He noticed that there were people who would quietly slip out the back or the side doors of the sanctuary, and a few minutes later, they'd come back in. And they were carrying bread. And they would walk discreetly up the side and bring that bread up to the table so that the stewards would grab the bread from the table and bring it to the servers so that everyone could eat and receive communion. Now maybe it was just that it was lunchtime, as I said. Maybe people just had some bread in their cars for lunch. I don't know. What I know is that the servers kept serving communion and everyone in that sanctuary, 700 plus people, were able to receive communion. The people in the pews and the seats, they saw a need. They offered what they had, and they made sure their neighbors were fed. Now, when we're in a large room together, it's so easy to assume that there's already a plan for whatever might come up. Someone has the supplies. Someone has the authority. Someone knows what to do. We can make that same assumption in a church. It's not just any large room in a church. Pastors teach. Parents form children. Ushers and volunteers answer questions. We have boards and committees who organize processes and efforts. There are a smaller group of leaders who very often assume and accept responsibility while everyone else receives worship and that planned programming. And so we can see how easy it is to treat our faith as a private concern. My beliefs, my prayer life, my relationship with God. And while those things are important, that unique and individual relationship is important, maybe there's more. And I would suggest that the baptismal font reminds us that there's more. Because during the baptismal covenant, and we've been going through the vows each week, the congregation promises to participate in other persons' lives of faith. The candidate being baptized or sponsor speaking for them may answer certain questions, but the vow that we're addressing today, the fourth baptismal vow, is the congregation's promise. Will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith? It's on the screen. You've already seen it. With God's help is the response. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. I want you to notice the four verbs that are in that promise. Proclaim, live, surround, and pray. This morning in the call to worship, if you look at your order of worship, if you look at that call to worship, we made a promise four times. We said, with God's help, we will nurture one another in the Christian faith and life. So what might this promise mean in our congregation? Christian nurture includes classroom lessons. It includes care throughout the Christian community. A child in a church learns that the adults in the community know their name and care about what happens to them. A person who celebrates a birthday knows that they are celebrated. A person experiencing tragedy and grief might receive a phone call or a meal, or maybe a visit during one of those days that just doesn't seem to end. In the Wesleyan tradition, we believe that God works through these practices. These practices of Christian community as a means of grace. People teach and listen and pray and serve and forgive and show up. In fact, I would suggest that most of us who are here would say that we've received care through other people. Very often through actions that just looked ordinary at the time, ordinary on the surface. During the sacrament of baptism, the congregation promises to join, to participate actively in that care. In our gospel lesson, the author of the Gospel of Matthew begins his account after Herod, King Herod, orders the murder of John the Baptist. Perhaps we can understand why Jesus, after hearing this news, withdraws. He needs a minute. He needs to have some time for prayer. He's lost John, his relative. Sometimes we call him cousin, but his relative and the prophet who prepared the way for his ministry. Even as he tries to withdraw, of course, the crowds follow him from the cities. You might imagine that Jesus might just say, "Give me a minute," but no. Instead, he responds with compassion. And he heals people throughout the day. Now, it gets to be evening, and the disciples and the crowd are in an isolated place. Now, the disciples know the time. They know that they're a bit of a distance from villages, and they know how much food they brought. So their position is practical. Send the people away so that they can fend for themselves. And they probably didn't think about it in those terms, but send the people so that they can access the resources that are a little bit of a distance away. Give them time to get there. Tell them where to go. And we can understand that response, of course, right? There's only so much a few people can do with limited resources. But Jesus has a different idea, and he addresses the disciples together. You give them something to eat. It goes like this. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus calls to the disciples. He calls them to respond while he is present with them. And we might remember that in and through Christ, they have everything they need to feed the crowd. Of course, the disciples, they're focused on the inventory. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 1,000 hungry people. Well, thousands of hungry people. They trust their arithmetic and have yet to trust what Christ can do with what they have. Churches, honestly, make the same calculation. When several people notice a need, and each assume that someone else will handle it. Jesus speaks to the disciples as a community. You give them something to eat. Together, the disciples can respond because Christ is present with them. So Jesus asked the disciples to bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he asks everyone to sit down. He takes the food, he looks to heaven, he blesses God, he breaks the loaves, and he gives them to the disciples. And the disciples distribute what Jesus gives them. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 plus women and children had eaten. Thousands of people had eaten, and still 12 baskets remained. Now, Christians have read this miracle in more than one faithful way. Sure, absolutely. I believe that Jesus has the power to supernaturally and miraculously multiply that bread and those fish. Other people read it a different way. Jesus inspired the people who were there to share what they brought. Frankly, I think either one's a miracle. I don't see any reason to force a choice in this gospel. No matter what, God is the source of what the people receive. Jesus gives the disciples what's needed, and they participate by feeding the crowd. Now, in our epistle lesson, Paul describes the church in Ephesus in a similar way. Christ gives gifts, and the saints, the community of faith, participate in its ministry. And so the body of Christ grows. In Paul's letter, he calls Christians with different backgrounds, experiences, and gifts to live together with humility, gentleness, patience, and love. He writes it this way: there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I don't know if you noticed, I accidentally added an extra word in there, the word one. You know the word one is in there 7 times? I added an 8th. My apologies. God joins us to Christ. God joins us to one another and to the church in every time and in place. In the United Methodist Connection, our responsibility reaches beyond ourselves and our families and even beyond our congregation and the people we already know. And through this connection, as part of the one body, Christ gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the saints for ministry. Bishop Paul Marshall describes the purpose of the church's ministry. He writes, Emilio, can you go back one slide? There we go. However, the several official ministries in the church are understood, their purpose is to equip the saints, the holy people of God. Those saints are to be equipped for servanthood and for the overall building of the body of Christ. Let's go to the next one. Their great variety is for a common aim. The corporate body, as well as all of us individually, are to come to unity of faith, knowledge of Christ and maturity. The measuring stick for maturity is Christ. Pastors and other leaders equip the saints. The whole Christian community participates in ministry. So what Paul does is he roots the church's unity and ministry in the triune God. The Spirit sustains the body, Christ gives gifts to use, and God works through all of us. And we're called to respond. In part, we're called to respond through service, through truth spoken in love, with patience, and in the ways that we care for each other. Each of us receives care as a gift of grace, regardless of our response or even our ability to serve. And through these relationships that are formed, God forms each person and the Christian community to love God and neighbor even more fully. Friends, I would call this in the United Methodist tradition sanctifying grace. The baptismal promise makes our participation in that growth a shared responsibility. I mentioned earlier those 4 practices of Christian nurture that the baptismal response gives us. It starts with, we proclaim the good news. We teach scripture. We tell the stories of Jesus. We're going to sing that hymn at the end. And we speak honestly about the grace we've received. We live according to the example of Christ. People learn from the way that we live, the way that we forgive, the way that we spend our money, the way that we respond to fear, the way that we treat our neighbors, especially those who can offer little in return. We surround people with a community of love and forgiveness. We learn their names. We notice their absences. We make room for questions and dialogue. We show up when the hard stuff shows up. And we pray for each other. In prayer, we entrust people to God. We listen for God, for how God calls us to care for them. During the sacrament of baptism, parents and sponsors make promises, and the whole congregation promises to support not only those families and sponsors, those being baptized as well. See, if a family can't provide the nurture that a baptized child needs, the congregation accepts particular responsibility for including that child in its life. We keep this promise across a lifetime of faith, of doubt, of service, of grief, of joy. If you remember that story about First United Methodist Church in Pasadena in 1985, remember that idea of my friend up in the balcony watching as people left during the communion service and then came back in carrying bread, placing it on the table. As the servers continued and every person received communion. Like I said, it was a midday service. Maybe it was just bread they packed for lunch. Again, that's just a guess. Whether Jesus multiplied the food or inspired people to share, the crowd in Matthew experienced a miracle. I believe that the annual conference members experienced a miracle too. People offered the food that was available to them, and every person was fed. People from all kinds of different congregations, communities, responded to God's call as United Methodists. The California Pacific people is not only Southern California, it's Hawaii, Guam, and Saipan. Can you imagine the diversity of gatherings? All received. Our baptismal vow that we're studying this week, along with the entire vow, but particularly this week, the vow we're studying begins with God's help. God loves us first. God calls us into the body. God gives every gift we use. God calls us to proclaim, to live, to surround, and to pray for those who are entrusted to our care. We have a whole community. We have a whole connection. The body of Christ, gifted and equipped in different ways to join in this good work together. Next Sunday, we'll be concluding this sermon series on our baptismal vows. And we'll be looking at the final vow. We'll call that sermon Believe. And we'll reaffirm our baptismal covenant together. There will be a time during the service to come forward and renew your baptism. We renew or remember baptism because God remains faithful. We renew, we remember the promises that we continue learning to keep. Friends, I suggest we can't do this alone. I acknowledge we can't do this alone, and I think, frankly, we'd be foolish to try. With God's help, we will nurture one another in the Christian faith and life. Thanks be to God. Amen.